Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, our big issues are storms and Oscars. In a moment, we'll talk Oscars with Elizabeth Wagmeister and Steve Mason and really talk about the state of the movie industry right now, which is one of California's most important industries. But we begin with an issue that's affecting pretty much every Californian this week, which is these historic storms, these atmospheric rivers that we've been having, and the concerns about flooding. We begin this week with a conversation with the head of California's Department of Water Resources about where we're at in terms of the flooding, where we're at in terms of the drought, how much of this water we're actually able to keep, and sort of the lessons we've learned from this. Let's start there. She's been the director of California's Water Resources since 2018. She's the person who manages our floodwaters and monitors dam safety across the state. Carla, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Describe the big concern this weekend regarding flooding and what you're doing about it.
What we're watching is the size of the snowpack that we have in California, which is truly extraordinary. And the notion of more precipitation coming onto that large snowpack.
Yeah, because essentially the last big storm we had was really, really cold. So there's all this snow. And this storm, a little warmer. So what was snow before is now rain. You got rain on top of snow, right? And that leads to potential flooding. So what happens in those areas in the mountain where the storm drains may be clogged right now with snow?
For the really high elevations in the central Sierra, ultimately that snow can absorb that precipitation. That snow gets heavier. But down in the foothills in the 4,000 to 6,000 foot range, if it's not freezing and it's coming down as snow, we will start to see snow melt. That's adding to that runoff into rivers. And that combined with the precipitation can make for some very hazardous conditions.
You know, one of the big stories this week, on Friday, you all started releasing water in the Oroville Dam for the first time since 2019.
That's right. So Oroville is the state water project's biggest reservoir, and it's north of Sacramento in the Feather River. And what we've done is we've started to ramp up the release of water from Lake Oroville using our flood control spillway to make sure that we are maintaining a safe space in that reservoir for flood control.
You know, for so many years now, we've been hearing drought, 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 save every drop. We need the rain. We need the rain. Where does all of that water go? Is that essentially just go out to the ocean?
No. So one, I would say still save every drop. Maybe we can change our script and say we need all that rain, because it is feeling like this is a lot to deal with, and there's going to be a lot to deal with as the springtime progresses, because all of that snow is going to melt and it's going to need to go somewhere. But how we capture that is crucial, and there's a couple of ways we do that. We are moving the water into San Luis Reservoir, which is a big state and federal facility just to the east of Silicon Valley, and that feeds significant parts of California. About 27 million Californians rely on that for some part of their water supply. So as that reservoir gets full, we send even more of these storm event water down the California Aqueduct. It helps in Southern California fill that Diamond Valley Lake, which is a very large storage facility. But the second thing that we do is we take that flood water and we use it to recharge our depleted groundwater basins. Groundwater basins hold 10 times as much as our surface water reservoirs do in California. And they are generally tend to be the last part of our water system that rebounds after drought.
So, like, what percentage of all the water that we have coming down now is actually saved or reclaimed, and how much of it just goes away?
You know, we save, you know, a small fraction of it, potentially in the neighborhood of, you know, 10 to 20%. And again, it depends on how big it is. We have the facilities that we have. And what we're really seeing now is that all of our facilities are are nearly at capacity. The governor has been working on a large conveyance project that can help us capture more of this water from the Northern Sierra when we have these big events. That's going to be really important for the future.
So you would admit that more needs to be done in terms of capturing, because you got to understand there's a lot of people
Absolutely.
That after we go through this, they're going to be like, you're talking to me about drought? Jesus, I couldn't get out of my house.
Absolutely. So we know that over time, the trend is going to continue for warmer and drier temperatures. So what will happen is we'll have these longer periods of very intense drought conditions, and then they will be punctuated by these really large storm events, kind of like what we're experiencing right now. So we do need to do more. We need to rehabilitate our facilities and make sure our dams are cleaned out of their sedimentation and that they are operating at maximum capacity to capture that water. We need to invest in how we move that water, particularly into groundwater basins, but also things like the California Aqueduct. You know, these are old pieces of infrastructure that need to be rehabilitated so that they can carry these high flows.
Yeah, so for when the next time this happens in 5 or 10 years, we're ready for it, because
yes.
It's probably going to be dry in the next few years.
No question.
Yeah. All right. Well, Carla Namath, I know you've got a big job to do this weekend, and we appreciate you taking some time to talk about this important message for people. We really appreciate you joining us. All right. We go from the drought now to talk about Oscars. Here's a clip from one of my favorite movies.
With all due respect, sir,
I'm not a teacher.
I just want to manage the expectations.
Steven Spielberg famously told Tom Cruise recently that he saved movies and theatrical distribution with Top Gun Maverick, which has made $1.5 billion this year. But this week, the National Theater owners said that we lost more than 2,000 movie screens since the start of the pandemic in America. We've actually seen some growth overseas. So on this Oscar week, let's talk about the state of one of California's signature industries, entertainment. We've got two of my favorite people back to do just that. Elizabeth Wagmeister is the chief correspondent at Variety, host of PBS's Actors on Actors, and an Oscars red carpet host for ABC this weekend. Congrats on that. Steve Mason is the host of the Culture Pop podcast, a former movie theater owner himself, and the co-host of Mason in Ireland on ESPN Radio 710 in Los Angeles. Great to see both of you. Welcome.
Thank you.
See you.
All right, ladies first. How would you describe the state of the movie industry right now?
Chaotic is probably a good word to describe it. Of course, we have huge hits like Top Gun, which you mentioned. But it seems like unless you are this big tentpole blockbuster genre, like a Marvel movie, a comic book movie, a sequel, that isn't a sure thing, but seems to be a pretty good bet. But anything else, you don't know what's going to happen. So what we see happening is that the studios, when they're looking at their distribution model, they're always going to want at least a streaming component. The thing with Top Gun is Tom Cruise is probably the only star, I would say, who can actually command a theatrical release. And that's what he does with his films. During the pandemic, he said, no, this is not going on streaming. You have to hold it.
And Tom Cruise is, of course, a star from another era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when movie stars were a bigger deal, it's harder for the next generation to be there. Steve, you and Bryan Cranston used to own a theater together. Yes, that Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. And would you want to be in that business now?
I think it's a really tough business. I mean, as you mentioned, lost 2,000 screens during the pandemic. Realistically, though, that's only 5% of all the theaters in the country. I'm actually very bullish on the exhibition business. Even the streamers now are paying attention. Like, for example, Amazon is going to spend $1 billion on films just for theatrical release. They have quietly opened a theater in Culver City called the Culver, and they may even be dipping their toes into the exhibition business. We're talking about Top Gun. It didn't just save movie theaters. It reminded people of what we love about movies, an experience you can't get when you're watching at home.
Yeah, and there's been a bit of a pushback, Elizabeth, because during the pandemic, there was this thought that everything would go on streaming and in theaters the same day. And now it seems like the industry is moving back from that a bit.
It's very hard to get the amount of dollars that you can get from a true box office hit. You're not getting that $1 billion hit because of streaming. You already have subscribers. Maybe a certain star or a certain film will bring new subscribers, but these mega conglomerates, they want both. They want the theater business and they want their own streaming business.
Although as a viewer, it is kind of nice for some of these smaller movies to be able to watch them at home. It's a lot cheaper as a viewer. Obviously, the entertainment industry doesn't like that, but it's nice for sort of these art house films to be able to just, you know, watch it at your whenever it's convenient for you. Let's talk about the state of the Oscars on this Oscar weekend. So the ratings have been going like this for years. A lot of people tuning out. A lot of people say the Oscars are too political, too on the left. And then last year, this big cultural moment, Chris Rock is slapped by Will Smith. We're still talking about it a year later. Chris Rock addressing it on Netflix this week. How does the Oscars recover from that? And what does it say about the Oscars that their biggest moment is violence? That was unexpected.
Well, there was a huge disconnect also in that, in the Dolby Theater, because he was involved in this incident with Chris Rock and then 15 minutes later was getting a standing ovation. And people looked at that and said, what does that actually mean? Right. I mean, as you mentioned, 5 years ago, the Oscars were drawn as much as 30 million viewers per year. It dipped last year to about 17 million. So they're freshening things up. They're making things younger. At certain points, they're going to put a QR code on the screen and let you know a little bit more about production
design.
That's
it. I'm going to watch now. I got a QR code.
QR code.
That's all we needed.
The red carpet is no longer red,
right,
as you know.
Yes, the red carpet is a champagne carpet. You know, but I do think that when you talk about ratings, this is across the board. And this is a downward trend that we have seen as the streaming business has exploded. This was happening before the pandemic. You can learn about the winners on Twitter. Why do you want to watch? A lot of people say they care about the red carpet shows more than the actual show. But we did see a positive moment. The Grammy Awards were up this year. So there is some bright spots. But I think what we will see this year, potentially, is an uptick because people know the films. This year, the films that are nominated have the highest box office average in 25 years. We've seen in recent years, these indie films, people turn on the Oscars and they say, what is this film that just won Best Picture?
Yeah, and the Grammys, though, is really about live performances, live moments, and big-name performers, and oftentimes nostalgic performers that everybody knows as well. Best moment this year was, like, Stevie Wonder performing.
Yeah. Right. So
in terms of, Steve, the future of award shows, because this year we saw the SAG Awards were streaming entirely.
Yes.
They couldn't get a network to carry them. They're on YouTube. Do you think the award show themselves are going to be going that way?
You know, I have a feeling they are, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Now, I'll point out with the Oscars, they still, if you look at the 25 highest rated shows of last year, including football, the Oscars actually figure in. So, you know, by scale, the show is still successful. It's not doing the numbers it used to,
right,
but the show is still very, very successful. I think that with some moderate changes, and you pointed out the expansion of the field to include movies like Top Gun and Avatar, and even Everything Everywhere All at Once did $100 million. So people know these movies, which makes a difference.
Well, and we're going to talk about those movies themselves, and could any of those big budget movies actually win? So we're going to get their picks in a moment, but we go to break with music nominated for Best Original Song. Here's Rihanna with Lift Me Up from Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
You may only see a pile of receipts, but I see a story. I can see where this story is going.
Jamie Lee Curtis is so great in Everything Everywhere All at Once. It comes into Oscar Sunday as the heavy favorite to win the Oscar for Best Picture. We're back with our panel, podcaster Steve Mason and Elizabeth Wagmeister of Variety. Great to see both of you. Okay, so Everything Everywhere All at Once, will it win and should it win?
It will win, and it is my favorite movie of the year. I think it is just an extraordinary, audacious, crazy mother-daughter story that I've never seen before. It's really hard to come up with a movie where you walk out and say, I've never seen anything like that.
Right.
And that's the case with Everything Everywhere.
It is the most creative movie of the year. Elizabeth?
Absolutely. I do think it will win, and I do think it should win. And I agree with Steve that it's very hard to get a new idea. The big films at the box office, are sequels, they're Marvel movies, and this is a fresh idea. It crossed $100 million. It was the first film to cross that number for A24, which is an indie studio, so it's really great to see not new directors, but first-time directors being nominated, relatively fresh compared to a James Cameron or a Steven Spielberg.
Sure, sure.
And then seeing these great performances and this wacky, crazy idea.
Okay, I'm going to take a different view.
Okay.
I thought the movie was really good, a little weird, hard to follow, but cool. But to me, the best movie of the year, the one that I enjoyed the most, the one that everybody enjoyed the most, was Top Gun Maverick. It's the movie that brought everybody back into theaters. That was the most fun that I've had in theaters in years. And I know I'm not alone. And why is that not recognized? I know it's a sequel and there's a lot of similarities to it. And maybe it's not the most creative thing, but it was the most fun, best movie going experience. And I think if that won Best Picture, the Oscars would be better at bringing in the crowds of people that actually, what, like to watch movies.
Now, I cannot disagree with anything you said, because I love Top Gun Maverick. I was actually at the world premiere at the Cannes Film Festival, and I remember walking out and I said, this is going to cross $1 billion and it's being nominated at the Oscars. And some of my coworkers looked at me like I was crazy, because it's Top Gun and it's not an Oscar movie, whatever that means. But I think the definition of an Oscar movie is changing, and now we are seeing that these popular films that people know, that people love, are being nominated. This sounds cheesy, but that in itself kind of is the win at this stage of the Oscars.
I know. It's one thing to be nominated. People say it's an honor to be nominated. It's a lot better to win.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
You know what I mean? But let's talk about who's actually going to win in terms of Best Actor, Best Actress, two of probably the most interesting races. So for Best Actor, probably either going to be Brendan Fraser from The Whale or Austin Butler from Elvis. Two great performances, very different performances. Who do you think will win? Who should win?
So I am putting my money on Brendan Fraser, but I have to tell you that every hour my thought is changing, because I think it's that neck and neck. And I think either one of them absolutely deserves to win. Very different performances, but the similarity here is they're both transformations, and Oscar voters love a transformation. Mm-hmm. You look at Austin Butler, he became Elvis.
Well, still is.
Still is. Yes.
Yeah. He never stopped being Elvis.
He's still talking in the voice.
Still talking in the accent.
I mean, I guess the role's continuing, right?
But here's the thing. Austin Butler, he has a whole career ahead of him. He can be nominated again. For Brendan Fraser, this really seems like a comeback that everybody is so excited about. He is the sweetest man, I have to tell you. I have interviewed him. I would be happy for all of them, but I would be so happy for him if he won.
Best Actor?
Brendan Fraser, slight favorite. I will go with Austin Butler for the win. Mm. I think there's something, they're introducing Elvis to a new generation. Baz Luhrmann has a vision that nobody else really has. His performance is amazing. He captures who Elvis was. I still think Brendan Fraser is the favorite to win.
Okay, you just hedged on that.
I did.
You gave us two different answers.
Don't put it all in Steve.
Best Actress, we'll start with you on this one. Cate Blanchett from Tar or Michelle Yeoh from Everything Everywhere All at Once seem to be the favorites.
Those are the two. It's a two-horse race here. I think that Cate Blanchett is probably a slight favorite to win here. But again, I'm going to root for Michelle Yeoh. Cate Blanchett has won twice before. This would be her third Oscar. She's going to get many other opportunities, I think, at the Academy Awards. Michelle Yeoh, this is her moment. I thought she played an unusual character, put in strange situations, and I thought she pulled it off. I'm rooting for Michelle Yeoh.
I am also rooting for Michelle Yeoh for all of the same reasons. I also think that sometimes you give an award for the performance that is nominated, but it's also a career award. And the fact that she has not been recognized at this caliber yet is, she should have been nominated before.
Yeah, but Cate Blanchett was so
good.
Amazing Tar. And that, I think, was the best performance of the year.
Okay, but I'm going to agree with Steve. Cate Blanchett is always so good, and everything that she does is Oscar worthy, and she will be nominated
again. Does that mean Michael Jordan's not supposed to win the championship
because
he's the best player, right? I mean, you're the best player. You get to win. All right, so here's what I thought would be interesting. For folks that maybe are looking for something to stream or looking for something to see, you guys watch way more movies than the rest of us, so be our guide here. What is your favorite movie movie of the year that maybe hasn't gotten the attention that it deserves, but you think people should watch?
So I loved The Menu. I don't want to give anything away, but this has so many twists and turns. You don't know what you're going to watch when you turn it on. There's a crazy twist. I actually, when I say jumped out of my seat, jumped off my couch because I watched it at home. Yeah. It's just, it's thrilling.
It was so good. It was one of the most, to the point about Top Gun, that was a fun movie to watch. It's a great movie-going experience. Steve?
Weirdly, The Menu was almost my choice for this segment. Instead, I went with Babylon, which about half the world despised and half the world loved. Damien Chazelle, amazing vision for a movie, production design, incredible. Diego Calva, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie. I absolutely loved the movie. It could win best production design. It could win best score on Sunday night. So it's not completely overlooked, but I love the 3 hours of Babylon.
All right, so some plugs. Check out Steve Mason's podcast, Culture Pop Podcast, with the guy who's going to win Best Supporting Actor.
Kiwi Kwan on right now, yes.
So, so you can listen to that and check out Elizabeth on the red carpet on ABC Oscar Sunday. Great to see both of you. Love you both. It's fun to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks,
we go to break with more nominated music. Here's Lady Gaga and Hold My Hand from my favorite movie of the year, Top Gun Maverick. Thanks to Steve and Elizabeth. Our thanks to you for listening this week. Feel free to reach out to me in social media, like us, subscribe, rate us. All that's much appreciated. See you next week for an extended conversation with Harvey Levin. He's got this new incredible documentary that I want to tell you about. And also sort of about TMZ and how he made all of this happen, became an empire. That's Harvey Levin next week on the Issue Is podcast. In the meantime, hope you can stay dry. Enjoy the Oscars. We'll see you next time.